Across the needle and see what she did the city. At home there are 17-year-old boys and their idea of fun is being in a gang called the Disciples High on Crack. Totally shame good. What's going on? It's America Unplugged. It's yet another week. We got the dude Chris Graves with us. I gotta go to you first, Chris. Shouts to Tony Arterburn on his way to Austin, Texas, representing America Unplugged in the land of make-believe. He's doing his thing out there. What's up? What's up, Tone? Do you like Muse, Chris Graves?
Muse, like the band?
Yeah, the band. The band Muse.
No, not at all.
You don't?
I like him. I like him. I like him.
This is Muse covering Prince. You know, so it's the perfect, I mean, what I just finished playing, The Sign of the Times. When Tony's not here, we play that as our theme song. And I would play Prince's, right? But we'd probably get like wiped off the face of the planet for doing that. Mm-hmm. Muse covered it. And I thought it was fantastic. Not to mention the fact that I really like Muse. But I wanted to go to Chris because Chris is the music guy here.
I feel really stupid because this whole time I thought that was Prince's version.
Oh, well, yeah.
But now that you're telling me that, like all the stuff that he went through with the music companies and everything, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
You would have to play a cover.
Yeah, I have to play a cover. Yeah,
because I love that cover. So I guess I like Muse now.
Muse is good, man. It's a good band. What is going on, America Unplugged? My name is Billy Ray Valentine. Thank you for coming on and listening to us yet another week. We really appreciate it. You guys know the deal. Tony Arterburn is not here, the wisest of all the wolves. Maybe he'll pop in at some point. I sent him a link, so he might pop in from the road of traveling the United States like he does. But Mr. Chris Graves is here, esteemed researcher and all-around good guy, a beast in the alternative media. What is up, Chris Graves? Thank you for filling in. What's going on?
Yeah, nothing much, Billy Ray. It's always a pleasure, and I have big shoes to fill today.
So. Yeah, well, you know, it's okay. Anytime Tony's not around, that's the way it is. But we do have the legendary Don Jeffries with us. What is going on, sir? How are you?
Oh, great to be here. Great to see Chris here as well, filling in for Tony, and good luck to Tony out there. I like Muse a lot. Muse is one of the only outright pro-conspiracy bands out there. I quoted the leader. He had a great quote about COVID and masking the truth. I quoted their leader. I think he was on Alex Jones several times in the past.
Yeah.
So you got to like that. You know, I don't know that much of their music, but the songs I've heard is sounding good, and I certainly like their spirit because they stand out in the music world. There's not too many of them out there that are willing to do that.
Right, and they rock freaking hard as hell too. It's an incredible trio, man. They are.
I always thought they were one of these easy listening, like Coldplay type.
No.
All right, I'm an idiot. I'm the music guy. All right, I'm an idiot.
they cover Rage Against the Machine often, right? Like Tom Morello's a big inspiration for them. So it's everything that I like about the world is meshed up into Muse. A lot of their later stuff I'm not big on, but their early stuff and their middle of the road stuff is fantastic. I love Muse, man. I've never seen them live, never had the pleasure, but I want to get out and do that. All right, we got stuff to talk about today, as usual. The world is burning, it seems, at least the United States is, to a certain extent. We have talked about the wildfires in California, you know, because that's been a thing. Right. Not too long ago, the wildfires in Canada cast a orange hue over New York City. I literally thought it was the end of the world. I was like, what is going on here? I didn't literally think it was the end of the world. But I immediately called my kids and my wife and said, come home right now. I don't know what the hell's going on because it was crazy, you know, and it was supposedly due to the fires in Canada. And now Hawaii's burning. And as far as I know, there's a good friend out there that is known to the alternative media that we can't find. I don't want to say anything like as far as names, because I'm not sure what's happening, and I'm not sure if it's information that I should be even putting out there. But God bless, you know, and we'll be in touch with all that as soon as more things develop. But things are serious out there, whether it's caused by humans or whether it's caused by nature. I don't know. Like, this is in the alternative media, the denial of climate change is a big thing, right? And it's been politicized. You know, that's why there's a lot of like, this isn't happening. Then there's the camp that says it is happening, but it's due to the controllers that are modifying the weather, which I could get down with, right? Jeffries raises his hand. So I could get down with that. You know, I can, because it's a thing, right? It is admitted that they control the weather, right? And we can find mainstream information that supports that claim, right? And then there's the camp that says, hey, something's up. And the sun is getting, I mean, the earth is warming up for whatever reason, right? And now SpaceX freaking is blowing holes through the atmosphere, the ionosphere. You never know what's happening, you know, nowadays. But anyway, I have a friend, a good friend, if anybody follows what I do in professional wrestling, Steve King, the Strangler. Shouts to the Strangler, Steve King. He lives out in Arizona. And, you know, he's shown me, you know, he says it all the time on air, how hot it is out there, and that you can fry an egg outside in the street. But there are literally street signs that are melting over there. And I remember telling him casually a few weeks ago, just like, dude, they're going to have to put a dome over your city or something. And then I was like, damn, they're going to have to put a dome over a city or something, or underground. So, you know, and I mean, these are things that, whether we want to come to terms with or not in the alternative media, it's something that we're going to see in our lifetime, depending on how long we live. We're at least going to see the plans for it. There's a plan for a city out in Dubai that goes straight up. It's like one skinny, I forget what they call it, but it's like everything is stacked on top of each other. And it's the epitome of a 15 city. I think you can get anywhere you want to go in 15 minutes. And it's enclosed by a wall, and it just goes up, straight up. And they're making this thing. I forget the name of it. I'll get it before the end of the broadcast, and I'll tell you guys about it. But this is happening. Let's not deny it. Something's up, right? Whether it's man-made or not, something is going down. And it's going to change the way we live. At least it's going to be used, right? Never let a good tragedy go to waste. We're going to Chris Graves first. Chris Graves, what are your thoughts on all of this? Do you think it's literally man-made? Do you think men are walking around and burning things and causing the fire that way? Do you think it's HAARP-style technology? You know, that weather modification. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of people out there think that weather weapons are the thing of, you know, science fiction, like MK Ultra, like brain, like mind control type things. And they're very much it's a real thing. I mean, yeah. JFK gave a speech about weather modification in 1961, I believe. And there's actually treaties that were signed in warfare in 1975, 76, I think. There was a whole bunch of countries that agreed not to use weather weapons against each other in warfare. But what the weird part about it was, they didn't include using weather weapons on their own people. So you kind of have that little, you know, you got that thing, you know, because they never agreed to not use it on their own populations and things like that. So that's from 1975, 76, and that's on the books. Whether or not they're using it right now to further, you know, the green agenda or whatever they say is, you know, in the planning to use against us, you know, post COVID or whatever, I don't know. There have been weird pictures I've seen, but then again, you don't know what's photoshopped and what's not. Right. But it looks like a beam coming down, starting a fire in Hawaii. Mm. I don't know if that picture is true or real or whatever. So I don't know, but I will tell you this. in the last 4 or 5 years, do you remember when California was having like a whole bunch of wildfires, just like for like the whole summer, it seemed like?
Right.
It was right around the time of 2020, 2021. There were reports at the time, and I don't know if I still have them, but they thought it was ISIS starting the fires. Like, there were a bunch of those reports at the time.
I remember.
Yeah, and just before the lockdowns, too. It was ISIS or Al-Qaeda. You know, they even tried to bring that back, that they were creating this chaos. So if it's whether or not it's a HAARP type thing in Alaska or, you know, operatives out in the field, so to speak, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them, you know, to cause just all this chaos. And then we got lockdowns and they throw everything else in the kitchen sink. So I don't think that answers your question really, Billy, but I wouldn't put it past these.
Right. No, you can't, unfortunately. Yeah. So people that condemn this type of thinking, they're really not paying attention, right? They really don't know the world that they're living in at the time, because unfortunately, while it might seem crazy and way out there, it is the truth. It is the fact of the matter. So when people start speculating in that direction, it's because they're informed, not because they want to spread misinformation. You know, that there is information that we are privy to, that we know that this is possible.
Yeah.
So we have to bring it up. We have to. Now, the project that I was talking about in Dubai is called The Line. The Line. No cars. No roads. I'm gonna go to Don Jeffries first, and then I'm gonna show a screenshot, or I'm gonna share my screen and show you guys the website. It's impressive. I just saw Michio Kaku here, who is a string theory. He's somehow involved in this. He's a teacher, a professor at the City University of New York. And you've probably seen him on the History Channel or something.
Joe Rogan sent him on a bunch lately.
Right. Yeah. Well, there you go. Don Jeffries, what are you thinking of everything?
Well, you know, first of all, you have to, the people that are telling you about climate change and warning about it, first of all, not only have they been wrong, you know, incredibly, going back to the 1960s, you have all the, David Knight has done that many times and talked about all the predictions they made. Al Gore alone has been a Wikipedia of misinformation on this. I mean, just a walking, so if you look at it, why would they, first of all, this is built, climate change or global warming, whatever they're calling it now, maybe they'll come up with something different. It's built around the alleged concern of our leaders for the environment. Now, as my friend Cindy Sheehan pointed out a long time ago, this concern doesn't extend to what all our misadventures in foreign lands are doing to the environment. All the bombing and all that. There's never any talk about the concern that our military misadventures have on the environment. They never mention about it. It also doesn't concern what China and India are doing to the environment. They are acknowledged as the two, because they have so many people, they're acknowledged as the two greatest polluters of the planet in terms of, you know, spewing out the wrong kind of gas or whatever the hell they claim is going on now. So this is just like COVID. It's very selective. It's politicized. It's how, who can we blame? And the direction always turns to you and me.
Yeah.
That's why you have ridiculous celebrities flying in on their private jets, lecturing you and me about our carbon footprint. So again, how do you take them seriously? Just like, how do you take COVID seriously when they never closed the border? They didn't act like there was a pandemic. So obviously, how do you take it seriously? It's the same way here. How do you take it seriously when these same people are silent? When the greatest disaster in American, maybe the greatest ecological disaster in American history, the Gulf oil spill happened. Do you hear any of them talking about that? They were silent. And they let BP go throw this, the cleanup thing out there, which made it even worse. There was a brief furor about, I have friends on Facebook who sat in the courtroom, were thrown out of court for trying to expose what was going on in the BP thing. It's never mentioned. Little Greta Thunberg probably can't even spell BP, let alone know what the hell BP is. She doesn't aware of it. Same thing we happened recently in East Palestine, Ohio. That was a real disaster. If you're concerned about the environment, you should have, climate change activists should have flocked there en masse. Instead, Donald Trump's ass is the only one that went there and bought a McDonald's. So that's this is absurd. Anybody, why would you believe that the people, much as I said, I worked in the medical industrial complex my whole life. anybody who's worked that and seen these people up close know that the last thing they're concerned about is your health. They want sick people. That's what they want. They don't want healthy people. So the idea that they're selling you this stuff because they care about you. We know they don't care, but they kill us constantly. They love doing it. And they have hit squads, I'm convinced. It's the same thing with the environment. They don't care about the environment. If they cared about the environment, they would talk about that. Nobody talks about Fukushima and what it might have done out there in the Pacific Ocean. Nobody talks about that. Nobody talks about the Gulf oil spill, BP. Nobody talks about East Palestine, Ohio. So they don't talk about real environmental disasters. Instead, they try to make you guilty about having hot water and driving a car, because this is all their agenda. That's part of the agenda, not to clean up the environment. And so when these fires that we have, they add to it, because it's you have to naturally be suspicious, because where were the fires before? I don't know where. I mean, why would climate change suddenly cause tremendous fires all the time? The California thing alone, every year when they had the brush fires, and then you have those great experts who have determined that the greatest way to put out the fires is to create more fires. It doesn't seem logical to me, and it doesn't seem to be working very well, but I'm not an expert. You know, I'm a community college dropout, so what do I know? But, you know, what happened? Where were these fires before? I never heard anything about California fires that are apparently a natural part of the environment out there until maybe the 80s, maybe the 90s. Now it's just an accepted thing. And suddenly now we have them in Canada. You know, I'm in Northern Virginia, and it was affecting our air quality. And I said, wait, how bad must it be up east? That makes no sense. None of this makes any sense. And now the Hawaii fires, and people have already pointed out, Chris Buchan has already joked about the Jewish space lasers, which, you know, put Marjorie Taylor Greene on the map. But there's something there. Something's going on, because whether Chris's laser was real or not, there are too many pictures, much as you saw in California, of cul-de-sacs where one house will be burned and the rest are left unscathed. That's not the way fires work. The trees are not, same thing happening in Hawaii, where they're showing pictures of trees that are not burned next to houses that have been leveled. So, you know, there's a lot of explaining there to do, but they're not going to do it because they never explain anything. But this is obviously, I think it's all part of the same thing. I don't believe anything they say. And yes, I think this is all jingle engineering to whatever degree it's real. And they're trying to convince people that this is climate change, and they're trying to convince you it's your fault. It's happening because you didn't listen to them when they were making all the wrong predictions, and you continue to drive your car and eat red meat and have hot water, which of course they can do. You know, Al Gore rolled up the largest energy bill in the history of the state back in the day, but you can't do it, the common riffraff. So it's you know, again, I don't know why anybody would believe anything. The same people that lie to you about everything else are telling you that this is true. So why would you believe them?
What's up, Don? Finish up.
I was just going to say, if I could just make an observation based on what both of you guys have said, how one house will be affected and the other one won't be, that kind of deal, where fire doesn't, it's like going against the physics, right? Like it reminds me of the toasted cars on 9/11. You know how like there would be paper everywhere, not burning, but these cars would be melted to the core. And some of them were as far away as the FDR Drive, Billy. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember, man.
That's a weird thing. And it just reminds me of what you guys are pointing out, that fire is not working in the way that it should.
Right.
So Judy, what is that
Wood,
point?
Right, with the
Wood. Judy Wood's the one that pushed that theory. But it's just looking at the photographs from that day. Right. It's weird because there's paper everywhere that's not burning. But all this metal is like melted. It reminded me of that. Like physics are suspended. So what causes that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's something. I think it's a legit question to ask, right? What's wrong with asking that question? Come up with a good answer. Give us a good answer, and we'll go away. Yeah. You know, that's it. It's real simple. You know, regardless of where you stand, regardless of where you sit in the argument, the one thing we can all agree on is that it is not our fault. It is not, you know, whether you believe climate change is man-made or whether you believe, I mean, whatever you believe, it's not our fault. We're not the one, we're contributing to the pollution, but the system that was set up that we were born into contributes to the, is made to create the pollution. You know, I mean, ultimately, it's just not our fault. We can change it, of course, but no matter what, it's not us. So when they tell us we need to do X, Y, and Z, and they don't, that's a problem, right? And they need to lead. They're the ones making the policy. They're the ones doing all of these things, and they continue to be hypocrites about it. But it's leading to something. All of this is leading to, and I told them, I don't know if I said this on air. I think it was off air that I was talking to you guys, because I told my guy, Steve King, I was like, they're going to put a dome over your city at some point. Yeah. Did I say that on air or was it off air?
Yeah, I think it was off.
It was off air. So I said, you know, they're going to put a dome over your city in Arizona at some point, because it's crazy out there. It's how do you even live, right? You just want to sit indoors. I wouldn't want to go outside with 118 degree weather. Get the hell out of here.
And if that happens, that's another Simpsons prediction that came true.
Yeah. Right? Well, it's gonna happen.
The whole movie was about Springfield being under the dome. Remember? Yeah, right.
Going to happen. It's absolutely going to happen. That's the wave of the future, and this is where all of this is pushing towards. But so I want to show you this, and I want your thoughts on it, guys. Like, this isn't a dome city. Who knows? It might have something covering it. Let me just share my screen. Can you guys see it? Can you guys see it?
Yep.
This is the official website for The Line, right? And that's Mitchell Cockle right there. I don't know what his involvement is. This is the first time I see him. When I went to the website, I'm like, oh, there's Michio Kaku. Okay, and he does string theory, right? The future of urban living. The future of urban living. There's a place here that says that they're going to have the ideal. Oh, here it is. I'm highlighting it right here. Let me see. You guys see it. The ideal climate all year round will ensure that residents can enjoy the surrounding nature. Residents will also have access to all daily essentials within a 5-minute walk. In addition to high-speed rails with an end-to-end transit of 20 minutes. This is what we're looking at here. It will eventually hold 9 million people. 9 million people and will be built on a footprint of just 34 square kilometers. This is what's going to happen. They're building up now. They're probably going to control the weather in this place. This is how they're going to sell these things. And people are going to go. People are going to go. This is happening right now. This is no longer talk. Yeah. This is happening. They're going to do it. And if you think that the United States is somehow immune to it, you got another thing coming. You know, this is the way it's going to go down. And you know, it sounds like there's a lot of benefits to it, man, but I am afraid that it's going to further enslave the human race, giving up liberty for comfort. Go check it out. We'll do a more like in-depth show about this particular project in the future.
You know, Billy, just imagine this. Imagine if they wanted to take out 9 people in one instant, like a super 9/11. That's what they would do. They would take out the tower or whatever this thing is supposed to be. And 9 million people.
Think of that. Go ahead,
9 million people gone.
Gone. Gone.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. But you know, they're going to sell it as the ultimate living experience.
Yeah. And again, it's the same people. Again, why these are psychopaths, these are eugenicists. Why would you think anything they're doing is for your good? Everything they do is part of their evil machinations. I mean, they're literally rubbing their hands like, you know, Mr. Burns and Fu Manchu and every sinister person you've ever seen in the past. These are absolute demons. These are, you know, Snidely Whiplashes that are murderers. And they're the worst people in the world. They're satanically inspired, I think. And any of their ideas, I mean, people should just reject everything they say. If they say it, no. Go against it regardless, because it's they everything they do is trying to apparently kill lots of people. And certainly it's not for your own good. And they're trying to, at the very least, their best they're trying to do is give you a lowered standard of living and reduce and eliminate what few civil liberties we still have.
It'll be a better standard of living, but you won't be able to leave.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Or at least they'll make it as, why would you want to leave? Why would you want to leave? It's 5 minutes, 20 minutes. You got everything here. Everything. The ideal climate, everything. But the rest of the world, will not exist. It might be like, I mean, I don't know how they're going to do this, man. But it reminded me of The Village when that M. Night Shyamalan film that they scared people from going out, you know?
Yeah, yeah. That's
right. Like, oh, the monsters are going to get you. You can't go out there. You know, mm-hmm. this is something that we need to speculate upon and talk about. This is a real thing. It sounds fantastic.
Does it?
It might not sound fantastic to us, but to most people it does. We're already stacked here in New York City.
I know.
Everybody wants to live here, right? Imagine how it's gonna be like in Dubai, the new New York.
And you're right. And it's who are they offering this to? I mean, to people like people like me that I live in a nice neighborhood. I'm fortunate to have a single family home and very quiet place. But so people like me, obviously you look a step down, but so many people I know, people that are by themselves or financially struggling, whatever. And if they come through and say, hey, you know, stop looking for these jobs that pay you nothing. You know, that these dead end jobs, why should you work for them? We're going to give you a universal basic income and we'll set you up in one of these smart cities. And for those people, it'll be a higher standard of living. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. So everything, you know what, video games 24/7, man, you know, no man to get on you, you know, you get, and we've legalized pot so you can smoke dope while you're doing it. You know, for a young guy that's struggling now living in his parents' basement or can't get a job, can't keep a job, that is going to be a higher standard of living. So that's who they'll sell it to. And the people that have a higher standard of living that now, people that remember a higher standard of living are eventually, there won't be any of us left. So, you know, people will be happy. Yeah, see, they improved our lot, man. We got it made here. Come on. Yeah,
true. It's true. A Syrian girl in the chat. What's up? How are you? Good to see you. How can BRV think that living in this city will give people a good standard of living? You know, look at
what Don just said.
Like, exactly.
People who had nothing, they were like, oh, now I got an apartment in the sky, literally. And
they're going to sell it as the trendy thing.
Right. Yes.
You know, celebrities are going to move. Oh, I'm living in this 15 minute city. I got my, you know, my apartment on the 1,500 floor of it. You know, I'm chilling here. I got my jacuzzi, you know, there's drones bringing me my Pizza Hut whenever I want it. You know, it's fantastic.
That's right. You know, yeah.
That's what it's going to become. People have lost touch with nature to the point that they don't want it. And I know I'm preaching to the choir here. So people here listening to this show are like, how could they not want it? Well, there's a whole nother sector of people somewhere that do, right? If you travel New York City right now, now it's evident, right? We've been having the whole immigrants being sent here, the migrants and all that other stuff, right? And they were in hotels and all that. Couldn't really see it. You saw it in some places. Now they've trickled over into the street. They're all on the street. You go down to Manhattan, Midtown, downtown. It's undeniable, right? They're all there. Why do you think they're here? Why do you think they're here? Have you ever been to Central America? Have you ever been to Mexico? And I don't mean the touristy parts, man. Go see the real. All right. They come over here. It's a better standard of living that they live in a little ass apartment in the hood. But you know what? They go down the block and there's a bodega there that's open 24/7 and they have access to milk and water. They have an air conditioner. They have a television. They're already better off.
Yeah.
Already. You know, and that's the deal here, man. I mean, people are going to want to do this. And this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. They're going to do this in Arizona with a dome around it. And they're going to blame it, not blame it, but use the heat as the catalyst for it. Be like, this is the reason for it. This is why we're doing it. We need to do it. And the population is out of control. So now we can have the biggest, the 9 million people in 35 square kilometers. Mm-hmm. You know, we just have them here. So it solves so many different things.
This is what Harlan says we're moving on up. They'll play the Jeffersons. They'll have the Jefferson theme song piped out of big speakers as they're going, hey, moving on up.
Dope, right? Dope. Absolutely, 100%. You know, so that's what they're using this for. It's scary. Maybe they'll look back at this type of broadcast and say, damn, you know, those guys were scared of nothing. You know, they, but, and there'll be a lot of people with that mentality living in the new because they don't know what it was like to live back then. Right. They don't know what it was like to live close to nature. And to be honest, what do we know about living close to nature compared to our ancestors? It's generational. It keeps changing, you know. So my kids don't know what it's like to live without a cell phone. They don't know what it is to go to a library. Yeah. They don't, because they have Google. Boom, everything comes up. That's it. There's no that they don't know how to do it. They don't know. They don't have any desire to do it. I took them to the library the other day. They're like, "What are we here? What are we doing?" You know, we could just look this up, right? I'm like, okay,
not
kid.
The point.
I'm trying to show you. But that's the deal. That's where this stuff is going. And I don't know. Just a heads up, guys. Let's not turn a blind eye to what's going on either, and just say like it's not happening, because it certainly is. Something's going down. Go down to Arizona, fry an egg on the street yourself. See what happens. Like, you know, it's gonna work. All right. Closing thoughts, Chris. Closing thoughts from Don, and then we'll get out of here. What's up, Chris?
Yeah.
Well, no, we'll move on to the next topic. Sorry.
I'm kind of curious about something you mentioned earlier about street signs being melted and things.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that yet.
Yeah. In Arizona, there are some street signs that are melting because of the heat. And you know, my boy took some pictures for me and sent them, but there's a couple of people on social media showing it. And they're like, no, it's not Photoshopped. These are the literal words melting off of it. It looks distorted because it's so damn hot outside for so many consecutive days.
Yeah.
You know, it just keeps happening and happening. So, I mean, I tease my friend. I'm like, what, why? How do you live there? Get the hell out of there. Like, I'd run straight to Antarctica or Alaska and sit there for a while if I had to live in 118 degree weather day after day after day.
Yeah.
Shouts to number six. I see him in the chat. I'm going to get to everybody in the chat soon. What's up, buddy?
Imagine if you didn't have the resources to be able to just leave. That's got to be the worst feeling in the world.
That's most American.
I know. That's yeah.
What are the homeless doing out in Arizona and places like that? It's obviously the elements. That's got to be at least as bad as it is in the winter.
They said 16% of people in San Francisco, only 16% of people can afford to buy a home. Yeah. So where are they going to go? Everybody's living paycheck to paycheck. Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? You know, there's only a certain amount of people that can move. And where are they going to move to? How are they going to move? Because this is what the world is going to be.
Right.
And you're going to look like an outcast. Like, oh, man, I'm crazy. Crazy outback wood types, man. Look at them. When we're over here sitting in a lap of luxury in my 15-minute city. And if you think Trump is going to save you, he's pushing it too.
He's pushing it too as well. But he loves it. He's something different though. But yeah. Freedom.
Well, they have to put his name on it or something for him. So he'll have to do something so he'll support it. They put his name on it, then yeah, it doesn't matter what they do. They could literally call it the warp zone. Yeah, they could literally kill every 10th citizen randomly in a lottery, and as long as it had Trump's name on it, he supported it.
It's the best city. It's the biggest
best system
city,
we've ever seen.
City.
It's great. But that's, you know, when you have the despair that I talked about in Survival of the Richest, you know, people haven't read that book, they should read it. And that was before all this. We've had two Americas for a long time. The bottom half of America has nothing. They make less than $30,000 a year. 50% of the people, they have less than 1% of the collective wealth. That's half of the country. And one of the worst parts of immigration is that almost all the immigrants coming in are poorer than anybody here. So they're entering at the absolute bottom of that bottom 50%. So what's happening? The bottom 50% is expanding. So if this continues, if Joe Biden has the open border policies, you know, and we import half of Mexico or whatever, at some point, it's going to be 60-70% of Americans that have nothing. And then the people in the middle class, it's been squeezed out. The 30-40% of us that are still hanging on with our fingernails to the middle class, that's who's being squeezed out. You have the 20% at the top, the 80-20 split, the 20% at the top that manage this mess for the absolute elitists at the very top, who have incomprehensible wealth, the ones that are benefiting from all this. But you can't you can't have any kind of viable country like that. It's impossible because they're not, you're not, when half of your country is getting screwed over that badly by the system, they're just, they're bent over and getting raped, assaulted by this system. And so that's already, that's now. It's just going to get worse, but nobody's addressing it. The Democrats sure aren't. Do you hear them say one word about it? They're too busy talking about transgenders and shouting that everything's racist and everything. They don't say one word about that. That should be their core issue, because the conservatives are delusional enough to still believe, oh, anybody, you know, just start your own business, being an entrepreneur. Okay, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's living in complete, still living in the 1950s. Much as they still expect to win elections, because they're unaware, completely unaware, apparently, of the demographic changes that have taken place, you know, in the last few decades. And they actually think they're the majority, and they don't understand why they're not winning. And so, you know, these, so those are our choices. Those are our two choices. Nobody's talking about the real issue. People should be talking about that. I try to talk about that silent, and that's the real silent majority that's coming up. The majority of people are being completely screwed over by this system. Yeah. They don't have any chance, and you can't sell them on America or anything like that, because the system clearly doesn't work for them.
Right. Right.
But
and that's talks about all of us. That's white, black, Latino.
Yes.
You know, that's all of us. That's what that's. And once we figure that out, it's a wrap. There's way more of us than there are of them.
Oh, it's over.
They're gonna feed us the Freedom City, brother, and it's gonna be a wrap. And Chris in the chat, what is up? I haven't seen you in a bit. I'm glad to see you here for one. She said, it was so hot in my car the other day, I couldn't even touch the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Lori, on the other hand, or I don't know if I'm getting that right. What's up, buddy? How you doing? It says, I go out daily. He lives in Tuscan, Arizona. Yard work and all. Good for you, brother. Because me, boy, I'd be hiring somebody. I'd be calling you up. Be like, hey, here's a couple of bucks. Do my yard work for me. Thank you so much. Number six in the chat says they are proposing a homeless island in Boston.
Yeah,
I believe that. and
homeless and island, homeless island of misfit toys. Now I'm going to homeless island. I like that. You know, that's great.
In the United States of America, bro. Homeless come island. On, man. Come on, homeless island. Man, you could call Manhattan homeless island at this point. We don't have to propose it. It just is.
And the first two things they'll build there are a liquor store and a McDonald's.
A McDonald's? You know, we
you'd be gotta have a McDonald's. Make sure the liquor store first, though. That's first. Right.
Well, for the next store. Pandemic, yeah. We need
all of that on homeless island, you know, and it'll still be better than what they had before. So, you know, here we go. All right. What do we got next? What did we say? Oh, man. And this is another thing, right? This is another thing, right? So they're going to put us in these cities, right? They're going to change everything and blame it on climate change, but also linked to the universal basic income. Increasingly, it's becoming more and more evident, and the mainstream is pushing it more and more. It started here in the alternative media. We were speculating about this for a long time, meaning the AI takeover. But now it's evident, or they're just pushing it, getting us conditioned for it, right? Drudge Report, their main headline was all news is going to be built by AI now. It's going to come out by AI. No humans are needed in a newsroom anymore, right? And then I saw a report that the first driverless Uber cars in San Francisco have been rolled out. So you're going to call an Uber. It's going to show up. There'll be no one in it. All right. You get in the back and it takes you where you go. And that's it. That's the way it's going to go. So the future, right, doesn't need you. I remember when that article came out and it made a lot of noise in the alternative media, you know, but it's true. The future, it's not that the future doesn't need us. It's being made to not need us. Because the people in control see humans as a virus, right, that are destroying everything and they need to be controlled. Populations need, the useless eaters need to be controlled. They get to have families. They get to have 15, 16, 17 kids, grandkids, do everything they want. But the rest of us, no, we cannot have that. And it's a class issue. But we're here arguing about sexuality. We're arguing about politics. We're arguing about race. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's about it's a class thing. It's an economic thing. And these people get to do what they want while we are getting shoveled off to homeless island. Right. This is the whole deal now. So The AI takeover is another thing that we cannot turn a blind eye to, because it's going to eliminate a lot of what humans do within the system. And are they going to change the system to fit this? Or what are they going to do? Or are they just going to give you a universal basic income where you will become a slave to the government? Because you better believe that money will be deposited into your account with strings attached. Nothing has ever been free except for the fluoride in your water. And that's not good, right? So if they're giving it to you, there's strings attached to it. For sure, for sure. So do we avoid this, Chris Graves? Like, how do we get past this at this point?
I don't know. The thing, like, I was always wondering about, were we told about the dangers, like, back in the day with, like, Terminator and things like that? Were they pushing that for, you know, a specific reason? Because if you think about it, the first, I think there were a couple of books that were mentioning the Great Reset, even from back in the early 90s.
Right.
In the year 2030, you know, things like that. And that was around the time of Judgment Day, of Terminator 2, you know what I mean?
Mm. Right.
As we know, that a lot of these things are planned out decades in advance. So I don't know if there's a way to avoid any of this, because now I was reading an article that saying that the FEC is going to regulate deep fakes and things like that. And we got Hollywood on strike now because they want to take an actor's performer's likeness and be able to use it forever. Like, yeah. That's part of the contracts now that they want to do, where they don't have to pay you residuals at all, but they can use your likeness forever. Or someone like a John Wayne that's been long dead, you know, they want movie extras. I found out about this too. Movie extras, they want to have them sign agreements saying that they can use their likeness forever as well. Including you reusing them, you know, behind the scenes in the background for crowd scenes and movies. Mm-hmm. And let's just say, like, not to get into the Sandy Hook of it all or Boston bombing or anything like that, but who's to say that they're going to, you know, they'll be on the up and up when it comes to what they use these people's likeness for, you know what I mean? You don't even need a crisis actor anymore. You get all these AI ones and we won't know whether or not they're real or, you know what I mean? Like these witnesses.
Right.
I'm going way off into the weeds.
No. It's all things that need to be discussed. In reality, we're not presenting it as fact. We're speculating in the direction.
So
go ahead.
And I think that kind of thing can be misused and has been misused, just technology in general. You know, with all the various things that I've researched and obviously you guys researched over the years. The machines themselves and the computers themselves, they're just tools. It's just a matter of like people using them for whatever reason, for good or bad, you know, and it's a very scary thing. So I don't know, like they like to kind of give you the revelation of the method kind of thing. And maybe that's what Terminator was all those years ago. You know, maybe they knew exactly where we were headed. You know what I mean? And now we're, you know, with the UFO disclosure thing, they're throwing everything in the kitchen sink at us, you know, and no one cares about the UFO disclosure thing. If it is a real thing, you know what I mean? And it's not just a blue book kind of disinformation thing or a slow roll of soft disclosure. If that isn't real, no one cares because we're being bombarded by all this other crap.
Right. I agree.
I don't know if I answered anything that you asked me, but
no, I mean, how do you answer this question? You don't, right? Like I while you were speaking, I want to say give big shouts to Liz, the Iron Maiden, always great to see. While you were answering the question, I remembered just a flashback in my mind, and then we're going to Don about this. When I interviewed Clyde Lewis about a year ago, maybe a little longer than that. And I asked him, you know, about everything that was going down, the technocracy and all of it. And I told him, I'm like, how do we solve this? How do we fix this? And he goes, we don't. And that was the most honest and raw answer I ever got with that question, because I asked a ton of people about it, you know, and everybody, even when I say, I'm like, I don't know if I see a way out of it. Well, you got to have hope. You got to have this. And I understand the optimism. Right. And I don't want to be blackpilled or anything like that. But really, I don't see a way out of it. I just don't. I mean, and I'm not saying that we're doomed, because there's always hope. There's always a way.
You got to be realistic.
It's incredibly difficult. And when he said, you know, we don't. This is coming. This is the way it's going to be. The best way, the best shot we have, I think, is working within the system to take it apart once we're in it. But we can't avoid going in it. I think that's going to happen. So we have to learn it and bring it down from within, you know, Fight Club style. All right. What's up, Don Jeffries?
Well, certainly, I think that if you put AI people in the newsroom, they're not going to do anything differently than the robotic you save millions of dollars, though. I mean, they're not going to think for themselves any more than the people in the USA of journalists do. They'll just have it programmed into them, which is, you know, figuratively, every mainstream journalist has had that programmed into them through their indoctrination in college, their awful education and all that. And to the point where they're actually incapable. They don't have to have meetings. That's what Harold Weisberg told me, that the JFK assassination researcher, my hero, he told me back in, you know, way back in the early 80s, you know, he said they didn't have to tell these journalists to cover up. They just know instinctively that they know what to do. And that's what you don't have to have meetings. That's how great the control is. So in this case, they'll just program it directly into them and say, and so, yes, Oswald did it. You know, Osama bin Laden cave, you know, 19 crazed Arabs, you know, the same kind of thing that you're going to see, you know, this is disinformation. This is a conspiracy theory. You're just making it. Same thing with the actors. I mean, I don't, will we notice anything different in the scripts of Hollywood being produced? What they're produced right now is awful. I mean, you watch any movie in the last few years and if it has an intriguing premise, it almost never has a resolution. They don't even bother to end it anymore. You're scratching your head. I go online and trying to figure out what the hell happened because I don't know. And, you know, they can come up with the whispering, instruct the actors to whisper so the audience can't hear what you're saying. This is, you know, this is Hollywood. And if it's a night scene, make it look like night. Don't light it so people can see what's going on. So this is Hollywood and already. So I don't know how AI can do that much worse. I think that they would, they'll be a lot cheaper. I understand why they want to do it because they can. So those guys make a lot of money. And as far as the likenesses of actors, it'd be really ironic to see the actors have to deal with this when they've been defending this horrible system for so long because they profited from it. We'll see how they like it when they get taken advantage of that, like be exploited like that, like, you know, 80% of Americans have been for a very long time.
Yeah. No. And let's see. Let's see what develops. But yeah, like there's not going to be any need for actors anymore when they just AI everything, you know, crisis actors, you know, what the hell, right?
Yeah.
When we have our alien invasion, if we're going to be invaded by aliens, I'd like them to be real, right? So at least I can be like, wow, this is a real alien from Beta Reticuli. This is
Betty and Barney Hill. They were right. After
right. All. This sucks because we're being colonized here, but it's kind of cool. We're not alone.
Right.
Yeah. Right. At least we have that. At least we have that. But no. We're going to get the holographic ones that are going to screw with us. Right. And so, I mean, it's really, we're not going to know what's real and what's fake. And we can already make that argument now. We're already there. We could kind of figure it out sometimes, but man, they can fool people. And I think we've reached a point of no return. There's a fork in the road for humanity. And Liz, the Iron Maiden, she's so wise, says, if you believe in a beloved God, right, this must all be happening for a reason, right? For our good.
Right? I hope she's right.
I think it is all happening for a reason, but I think... I believe in God. I think God gives us free will. Everyone. Otherwise, what's the point, right? If there's no free will, what's the point? What's the point of this?
So,
so we have chosen this path. Some of us have. And we are adjusting to the way, to what our actions have created, you know? And that's where we have to live. That's what we have to get used to. So bad things are going to happen. And people talk about, well, how can bad things happen? How can the Lord let this happen? Lord's not letting anything happen. This is happening because of what we have done, how we're maneuvering, because he's given us the free will to do this, or she or it, whatever you think, whatever you subscribe to, right? And I think we've reached the point of no return for humanity. It's either we had the choice to be human or to be artificial. And we are going artificial. We are. And I mean, we're going to have to work a long way backwards to get back to being human. Because even right now, while we're doing this broadcast, we fall way short of what a human should be, in my opinion. And we're only going further and further down that road. So let's just get ready. We got to get ready. We have to try to keep the traditions alive of what humanity used to do and what humanity used to be. And let's try not to become cyborgs. It's a real thing.
I know.
It is a real thing. Let's try not. And it's going to be so enticing to become a cyborg, right? Because of what you're going to be able to do. I don't know. It's a hell of a question to ask and a hell of a subject to weave through. I will be doing Prime Time with Billy Ray Valentine this Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern here on the channel. Tune in. We'll go over it. I want to talk about NPCs. I'm going to do a little bit of that, and I'm sure it'll merge into what we're talking about now. All right, Don. Do we have any Trump updates? Has he been indicted for the 87th time?
Yeah, CNN and MSNBC ought to have a new counter, like a counter at the Bible, like the Trump indictment count. How many indictments he's had? How many more possibilities? I mean, it's right. I don't make predictions, but for those of you out there who still believe in Trump, there is a possibility they may write the script, and it would be fitting. Where Trump is elected by the same rotten system that, you know, is selected, right, that they all do, and wins the presidency again, but he's already in prison and he has to stay in prison. And there'll be a big baffling thing because I don't think the Constitution addresses that. Technically, I don't think there's anything to prevent somebody being elected from prison. So, and that could be your next 4 years, having the president in prison, and maybe they'll have, you know, some kind of ridiculous setup in there. Maybe Trump will introduces to some, he'll claim he's made a bunch of people his bitches somehow, and he'll introduce us to those guys.
Julius gang.
Yeah. I'm the king here. They all be me. I'm the gang leader. I can see that. And, if they want to, if you AI script writers out there, if you want any ideas,
I love it.
I think that would be an entertaining one. I think it would be a fitting end to the Trumpenstein project. Have him serve from prison. And then, of course, have everything that he attempts to do. Maybe he'll start attempting to do something, but they'll say, well, no, he can't do it. You know, and the Democrats, that's absolutely impossible. He can't do, we can't have somebody that's in prison doing this. And so it could be really interesting. Must see TV.
I love it, Don. I think if we're going to go over the cliff, may as well ditch the paddles and ditch the boat, right? Let's do it.
Let's make it entertaining.
Go all in, right? And at least I'll be entertained. Be like, yo, this dude is in prison. Yo, he's running cell block C right now. Nobody's touching Trump.
Yeah, that's right.
Fantastic. You know, I want to talk about, I want to hit the chat before we get up out of here. This hour went by really, really fast. Angus Mustang says, is AU real? Meaning America Unplugged. Are we real? Talk about that. On Prime Time with Billy Ray Valentine, we'll talk about it. Cause you know what? I mean, I'm real. I think I'm real. I never met Chris, and I never met Don in person. We'll find out. We'll see you on September 9th. September 9th.
That's right. Yeah.
Free World of NYC, in memorial of September 11th, 2001. Don Jeffries is going to be presenting, ladies and gentlemen. The man himself, the legendary, will be there. Tony Arterburn will be there doing his thing. Charlie Robinson will be. I was just on Charlie Robinson's show today at 10 a.m. Eastern here. So go back and check it out if you haven't already. TNT Radio. We were on there talking about the conference. Charlie's going to be there giving a speech. Mr. Richard Gage will be there giving a presentation. Wayne McCroy, the Alchemical Tech Revolution, who is in the chat, by the way. Honored to have Wayne in the chat as usual. He will be there doing his thing, breaking it down for you like no other. He did a presentation at the last conference that I hosted, and he blew people away. People still talking about that now, hitting me up about it. Guard Goldsmith will be there. He will be giving a presentation. And last but not least, certainly never least, Black Trump, the Patriot Street Fighter himself, Jacques Brisson, John Brisson will be there talking about the CNP and how that relates to everything. Chris Graves, are you coming? Are we going to see Chris Graves?
I'm going to try.
Let's see if we'll see Chris Graves there. That'll be dope to have Chris Graves there. We'll all take a big America Unplugged freeworld.fm picture. Hey, make sure you go over to freeworld.fm and subscribe to that. You know, we're going to be launching soon. That'll be fun. We're going to try to keep it human as we possibly can in an unhuman world. Chris Graves, tell the people where they can find you. Oh, my God, we got a surprise. Hold on, Chris Graves. Hold on. Who is this guy here?
Tony
with the beard. Oh, the waiting right to the end. He was like, you know what? Let me pop in. What's up, sir? How are you doing on your way to the American Liberty Awards? Say what's up to the people. Okay, there you go. Oh, there he is. What's up? Can you hear us? He can't hear us.
Oh, it's great just to see him. That's pretty cool.
There he is. That's the dude. He got a haircut too. Look at him. He got a haircut for the award show.
He's got his acceptance speech. Yeah.
We'll leave him there. All right, Chris Graves, what's up, buddy? Tell the people something.
Something. Now I'm on Twitter. I'm a little wise guess here. I'm on Twitter, I believe, still. Yeah, and it's C Graves Mask Guy. And we have the new prisoners, the TMP, tonight.
What's up?
Along with Mr. Billy Ray Valentine and Chuck Cocelli and a few other people. At 8 p.m., we're going to have a heavy metal conspiracy. Not just conspiracies. We're going to talk some heavy metal, but it should be a fun time. And that'll be on Rumble and Odyssey. And, yeah, it's going to be fun.
So is Rage Against the Machine considered heavy metal? I don't know. It's metal, kind of. They had the whole new metal thing, but I don't put Rage Against the Machine in that label of new metal.
They were before new metal. Like new metal was like Godsmack or Limp Bizkit or something. Yeah.
All right, Tony, can you hear us?
Hey, Tony.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I had to turn off my Bluetooth. Driving down 35 from Dallas to Austin. So.
Damn! Look at the guy. Yeah. What's going on? What you doing? Hey.
I'm good. I got my son Houston is driving, so I don't have to drive. He's got Beans the Brave on his lap.
Very cool.
I wanted to jump in and say, this is episode 100 of America Unplugged.
Get the hell out of here.
Wow, cool.
So 100.
Goes to show how much I pay attention to these sort of things.
Right on. We'll be available for syndication soon. That's so cool.
we will have a celebration in true America Unplugged fashion. 1 week late, we will have everybody in. We will do it the right way. Tone, you're up for an award today. What's up, man? Tell the people about it.
Yeah, I got nominated for, I believe it's one of the best research podcasts in the podcast category. I'm not like Charlie Robinson, you know, the hardest working man in alternative media. I think he's got like 14 nominations or something. And I've got one, and it's an honor just to be thought of. And I'm also sponsoring the event. Wise Wolf Silver is a sponsor, the only sponsor, and we have a great time. There's been a lot of alternative media content creators there, so I'll send you some pics for sure. We'll have to.
Hey man, like I asked you for something, and I hope I get it. I want to know who wins the Lifetime Achievement Award. If Steve Bannon wins the Lifetime Achievement Award, we will riot. That's what I want to see it. I want to see it, Tony. So please send me that. You're going to have a great time out there. Say what's up to Charlie for me and whoever else you see out there. And it was good to see you on the one. It wouldn't be the 100th episode without Tony. So I'm glad that you were able to tune in on 100. Thank you for all your contributions to the show. Literally the reason we are on Rockfin right now, because I wouldn't have gone forward with it if it wasn't for him. He pushed me to do it. The show might have been over after we left Iconic, and I still wanted to do it, but I wasn't sure. Tony was the guy, you know, been instrumental, research wise, hosting wise, financially, he's been instrumental to keeping this show alive. He is the gold and silver person for the alternative media. If you're going anywhere else, you got a problem. You got to come to Tone. Support your own. Tone, tell him what's up.
Well, thank you, Billy. It's been an honor, and just doing the show every week with you and Don is something I look forward to. And thanks to Chris for filling in for me today. I think it's a great dynamic to have, you know, three diverse opinions. And, you know, we don't always agree, which is great. You get different backgrounds on different subjects. And I love the show. And I think it just, I mean, really, we talk about in the intro, it's like unscripted. It's totally unscripted. Like, folks, we meet in the back office, have 2 or 3 minutes, throw up some headlines, and then we go into the show. It is an honor. And we happy to sponsor America Unplugged with Wise Wolf. I am the gold and silver guy for the alternative media.
Damn right.
It's not a role that I'm happy to have. And if you want to buy precious metals, we do that. And you call the toll-free number or go on my website, wisewolf.gold, you'll talk to Tony.
Fantastic.
Or at least Kinsey, which Kinsey's better than Tony, so I don't know why
Either way, you get the payoff, man. So call up Wise Wolf Gold and Silver, sponsoring America Unplugged, sponsoring the American Liberty Awards, sponsoring Free World NYC, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, he's just doing his thing, you know.
The official sponsor of the apocalypse.
The official sponsor of the apocalypse. Mm-hmm. And we are the scribes of the apocalypse here at America Unplugged. It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We need to get ready for it. All right. Chris Graves, tell the people what's up. We were talking about Rage Against the Machine. What do you consider Rage?
It's a hard rock kind of. I'd say it's a borderline on metal a little bit. Yeah, with Tom Morello. You know,
Harps in the chat said to screw them because they took the bio shots or whatever. So
yeah.
I will tell you this. First off, Rage is my favorite band of all time. I've seen so many live bands. No one begins to touch Rage. Maybe Nine Inch Nails. Nine Inch Nails is an intense ass show, but Rage Against the Machine is on another level. And I've seen Metallica. You name them, I've seen them. I've never seen anybody rock like Rage Against the Machine. Two, they kind of postponed their tour here in New York so people without vaccines can come see it. You know, so they wouldn't have if you don't have a vaccine, you can't come into Madison Square Garden. So I appreciate them for that because I bought tickets prior to the pandemic and I thought I'd never get to see them again. My favorite band of all time. And last year, yesterday, I got to see Rage Against the Machine again. Actually, I saw them twice and it was amazing. So we're going to talk some metal with Chris Graves tonight, ladies and gents, over at TNP. What's going on, everybody? So join us. What time is that? 8 o'clock, right?
Yeah, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I got to tell you, Billy Ray, one of the best shows I've ever been to, Metallica.
Metallica. I saw Metallica at Woodstock 99. They were dope.
Oh, with all the talk about fires, huh?
Yeah, seriously. Talking about extreme heat, right? All right, Don Jeffries, what is going on? The legendary. Tell the people where they can find you.
Well, you know, my website is donaldjeffries.media. The only place I'm not shadow banned is Substack, donaldjeffries.substack.com. If you're not subscribing there, please do so. It's called I Protest as well, donaldjeffries.substack.com. Please consider suggesting Masking the Truth for your library. We are up against a big wall of censorship, especially in the library. So I'm asking everybody, please see and let me know what they say, because I've already gotten a couple messages from people that they didn't say for any of my other books, like, we're not going to have this book. They don't usually do that. So they're putting up every roadblock they can. Please support me. You don't even have to buy it. That's great if you do, but suggest it for your library, or if you went to college, your college library, your local library, and that's what I'm asking people to do, so we can try to get the word out on that book.
Fantastic. Make sure you go support Don Jeffries, everything he does, his Substack, his shows here on AmericaUnplugged.com and here on Rockfin, and all his books. You can find them on Amazon. You can find them just about anywhere. Well, not just about anywhere, but you can find them. So if you want them, hit up Don and he'll tell you where to go. Kat Goya has a question. She wants to know if the beard is dyed to look that way, to be multicolored. Is that a thing, Mr. Arterburn?
It reminds me of the last time I hosted on InfoWars. Somebody was mad at me in the chat for not being a Trump sycophant. And they wrote in the comments, they said, you look like a corrupt mullet. No, I don't dye my beard at all. I don't know what I would do with it, like hair dye or coloring. I think you like lose yourself in that somehow. I guess this is just complete stress and not having too much information in my head. It would be nice if I didn't know things. I think I would have, like, I think my hair would be dark. I was looking at pictures of me like 36. I had no gray hair. And now I'm 43. It's just, you know.
Well, that's kind of what happens, Tone.
Thanks, apocalypse. Yeah.
I know it doesn't look like I have gray hair, but I have tons of gray hair, like tons of gray hair now that I'm your age, Tone. I wasn't your age always, you know. I was, you know, now that I am.
Now that you and I are born like one day apart.
You know? Right. You know, but I have tons of gray hair, you know, and it's cool. Embrace the age. That's what's supposed to happen to us. You know, the fact that we get to live through this, right? The fact that we're alive. Is a great experience, and so it looks dope, Tone. The beard looks dope. I like to do the clean shave thing, even though today I haven't shaved. This is what happens to me when I don't shave, you know. But what's up, Tone? What happened?
I wanted to say something about Rage Against the Machine. In my playlist for the gym, I have some Rage Against the Machine, and one song in particular always reminds me of Billy when it comes on. It's called No Shelter. Ah. '97 is when they released a great song, and it reminds me of Billy because he just says, "There'll be no shelter here. The front line is everywhere." It's a war. I mean, I just think like your mind, like Billy's always reminding us, the front line is everywhere. You know, watch out for the mind control. So
that's dope. That's dope that reminds you of me. Not to mention that another one of my loves in life, Godzilla. I love Godzilla. Not particularly that movie that it was a part of the soundtrack for, but I love Godzilla in general, you know? So Rage Against the Machine and Godzilla, fantastic. That's dope. The front line is everywhere. There will be absolutely no shelter here. Don Jeffries, I need you to tell me your favorite metal bands. Don Jeffries is a music guy. You know, it's all about did you guys get Guard to be part of the show?
I reminded Six to send him the invite earlier.
Yeah, Guard is a freaking...
Encyclopedia.
Right, he's Tony Arterburn in music-wise. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous the amount of freaking knowledge this guy has, just in general. But damn, music-wise, it's ridiculous. Don, what's up? What do you like?
I don't know. You know, if I would, as far as metal, I mean, hard rock.
Just say Helter Skelter.
Well, yeah, Helter Skelter is considered the first. Yes. Some people do, anyhow. Yeah. But again, not my favorite song. But I don't like the real hard stuff. I'm kind of a pussy, I guess. You know, I still like I like the you know, when there's stupid shows like I don't like the shows, but all the shows that play those like Chantal Kreviazuk, I love her. You know, and she's about as anti, you know, heavy metal as you can get. I love that stuff. You know, I still love Elvis Costello. Hardest stuff. The Rolling Stones could be pretty hard at times. I think they did it pretty well. Led Zeppelin, I don't know if you consider them or not, but I guess I really don't like most hard stuff. So I probably wouldn't qualify your program. I like not easy listening necessarily. I like progressive rock. Some of it has an edge to it, but you know, my favorite. I love Rossi Music as a band. They're not hard, but I mean, I don't know what you'd call them. I love Procol Harum.
Do you like the band Cake?
A little. I've heard a little by them. Okay. I don't know too much, but I love Procol Harum, which is a classic band, and the band we just lost Robbie Robertson, who only one of those guys left there, and they sound better and better. So go. I don't know what you categorize them at, but
I see Don as being a Slayer guy myself.
I saw Slayer live once.
Yeah. And you're still alive.
And I'm still alive. It was incredible, the crowd there. A city boy from the Bronx being at a show like that at one point, it was culture shock for me when I was 16. But but it was interesting as hell, right? Regardless, what are your favorite metal bands, Chris? A preview for tonight.
Well, I like the thrash metal. I like Anthrax, Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer, like I said, Pantera. And I'll say that's the big five for me.
Pantera used to wear spandex and glitter before they turned into Pantera.
So did Alice in Chains.
Don't tell me that, please. I don't want to have that illusion ruined in my mind.
I didn't want to know either, and I found that out the hard way. But you know what? Metallica and... the guys in Nirvana, even, they were wearing their jeans and T-shirts. So
Kurt Cobain never wore spandex.
He didn't wear spandex, but he wore dresses sometimes out on stage to scare all the homophobes. No, he really didn't. But Metallica
with that, but spandex and glitter and hair.
Metallica would be making fun of Tommy Lee, Motley Crue. Yeah. Metallica would be flipping off Motley Crue in the clubs,
right?
And they were wearing like fishnets and everything, and Metallica, they had their denim jackets on and the jeans, and they were pretty cool.
I was just never into the hair metal, bro. I mean, we were super young, Tone, when that was happening, but I was never into it. Like, it was, I do like Guns N' Roses if you consider that hair metal, not right? Really. Like, Def Leppard is dope.
Died.
You know,
hair metal. They literally executed hair metal. It was popular. Like, I remember hearing a story about Warrant had that album called Cherry Pie.
Right.
And they were like the biggest thing. They had celebrated. They had pictures all over the studios. And then this guy, one of the lead singers, said he came in one day and they took all the pictures down and replaced it with Alice in Chains. Literally, grunge came in and just murdered hair metal. Like within like a weekend, and it was gone. It was a phenomenon of just. I mean, it's like a bygone era. You don't hear anything that sounds like that anymore. It's kind of a shame. There's a wrestler. Wrestler Billy,
what's that, buddy?
The movie The Wrestler. Have you ever seen that?
I did.
And you know, he talks about, he's like, why can't we have both? He likes grunge and hair metal. He's like, that pussy Cobain.
I know. When he said that, I got pissed in the theater when I heard that. Yeah, yeah. You know, I was liking this movie up until now. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like Bon Jovi too. I don't know if that makes me a pussy, but I do like Bon Jovi. I like a lot of music, but the hair metal genre itself, I wasn't a big fan of. Rage Against the Machine, Metallica's undeniable.
Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses, of course. When I'm talking about metal. I don't know if we consider the Deftones metal, but I love the Deftones. And it took me a while to get there, but I love them. Right.
They can be pretty heavy.
Sometimes. Oh, they're very heavy. I just don't know if they're metal, you know, but they're heavy as fuck, you know, when they want to be anyway. They have some metaled out songs, but
White Zombie was I'd say White Zombie was metal, you know.
White Zombie was a Thunderkiss 65, right?
Yeah.
When or that human was human. The theme song to ECW, Extreme Championship Wrestling. And when I used to stay up till 2-3 in the morning here in New York to watch it on the MSG network. And as soon as the letters started going off and you started hearing the beginning of Thunderkiss 65, I lost it. Yeah. it was Nine Inch Nails merged into Thunderkiss. The beginning of Nine Inch Nails, Hurt, not Hurt.
Terrible Lie or Head Like a Hole.
No, the big
head
hit.
Head Like a Hole.
No, the big hit.
Oh, Closer.
Closer, the beginning of Closer with the heartbeat, and then it merged right into Thunderkiss 65. And I was like, my childhood, ladies and gents. Six knows all about that. He knows about wrestling. All right, let's get up out of here. We've already done an extra, I don't know how long, just talking about music.
Well, check out Paratrooper too. Tony did an awesome one just now. I forget the lady's name, but she was pretty cool.
Tony, who's on Paratrooper?
Yeah, Paratrooper. Thank you. Great show.
All right, fantastic. All right, we're getting up out of here. TheInfiniteFringe.podbeam.com. Check it out. We're going to do 9/11 stuff coming up. And, of course, America Unplugged. You guys know the deal. We will see you guys next week, Lord willing. Our 101 show, 100th celebration. So it's really the 101 show, but we're going to celebrate making 100 next week. Guard, come on. And Dwayne, please come on. Just letting you guys know, we'd love to have you. We're going to pull Charlie Robinson. We're gonna have a big I don't know.
Extravaganza.
Festive thing. Chris Graves, come on. All right? Let's do it. See you guys next week, Lord willing. Take it easy now. Bye-bye. Boom.